We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode. You know what's fascinating? I was chatting with someone the other day and they were completely unaware that we have the power to change our thinking. Like it was a complete new way of thinking to challenge them to say, we can actually change our thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember thinking when I was, if I had known now, like what I know now about the power of how we can take captive our thoughts and change our thoughts, back when I was a teenager, back when I was an early mum, my goodness, my life would have been so different.
Oh, hands down. And just as you're sharing, thinking back to my teenage years, I don't know how aware I was even about my thoughts, let alone the fact that I could I could change them. But as an adult, I mean, both you and I, it's the space we love to work in. And I think it's the space we most often work in, you know, as coaches. Yeah. It's all around helping people to become aware, first of all, of their thinking. And I think to do that, you and I have definitely, you know, journeyed about becoming more aware of our own thoughts. And it's, isn't it interesting that for us now, it's like, but it's of course we can change our thinking. You know, it's kind of like, you know.
You forget that that's not necessarily what everybody thinks.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I get that sometimes.
And we forget.
It's not always easy. You know, it can be really hard.
Yes. No, it can be very, very difficult. And I think too, it's easy to just get caught up in life and then go, oh, hang on a second. You realize that you've been thinking something and going on that tangent and then you go, what? Where did that thought even come from? You know, we don't always notice it straight away. We get caught up.
And I think because we are constantly thinking 24/7, you know, and as I was sharing with you briefly before this call, and, you know, I've been doing this course that teaches us we've got these two different ways of thinking. Mm. We've got the kind of thinking that's really productive and proactive, and it's the doing thinking stuff, you know, and then we've got the daydreaming and the mind wandering. And,
yeah.
but regardless of which mode we're in, we are constantly thinking.
I read this quote actually, and I need to tell you about this cool book that I'm reading, but there's this quote. I might just quickly read it. It says here, the most important conversation you'll ever have are the ones you'll have with yourself. You wake up with them, you walk around with them, you go to bed with them, and eventually, here's the key, Kath, eventually we act on them, whether they're good or bad. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Like we don't ever escape our thoughts. They are there 24/7. And not only just are our thoughts there, we act on them.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. So I guess just like any part of our body, you know, we don't just have to let it do its thing, right? We don't have to let our thoughts just wander and, oh, it could be a good thought, it could be a bad thought. We can take captive our thoughts and we can change them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I think once we get that, you know, it's pretty cool, but it's also quite confronting at the same time.
Yeah, true.
You know, it can be.
Yeah.
If we think back and think, oh my gosh, so you mean I didn't have to let that like drama play out like it did, you know, I could have done something about it. So it can be confronting to realize. And I think the other thing that really has been helpful for me to, I suppose, process when it comes to this topic of our thoughts and, you know, that they're always there, has been that our thinking leads to our, sorry, I'm going to get this all confused. No, this is right. You see, this is what happens. Our thinking leads to our feelings. It's like the chicken egg, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg. And I used to think, oh, but I'm feeling down, therefore I'm thinking blah, blah, blah. But discovering that it's the other way around, that no, I'm feeling down because of what my thinking, you know, it was my thinking that got me here.
Yes.
And yes. So, yes, understanding that our thoughts don't need to, like, we're not the victim of our feelings. No. Our thoughts are not victim to our feelings. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
But we can take every thought captive.
Mm.
And we can choose to think in a way that's going to shift our feelings and, as you say, our actions.
Yeah. And it becomes something once you realize it. Like, I've just realized how, in the last few years, how important it is. And the neuroscience around it, it physically changes our brain. Like, how amazing is that?
Yeah.
The moment we stop our thoughts and we take hold of them and we change our thoughts in a new direction, it changes our brain.
Yeah. So tell me about this book you're reading, because you were saying the book was explaining that. Share with us.
I'm reading a book by John Acuff. So he is a speaker, he's a coach, he's an author. And the book that I'm reading is called Soundtracks. And it's the little subtitle is The Surprising Solution to Overthinking. And so in a nutshell, think of it this way. So, you know, when you go on a road trip, right? And you put your playlist of songs on.
Yep.
And, you know, I love my playlist. I think in the family, I have the best playlist. But let
I'm
me
sure you do, Al.
I'm sure. Not everyone else agrees. And my husband thinks he's got the best playlist. And then when my kids put their playlists on, there's a couple of songs that I like. And then I'm like, can we just skip over that, you know, that song? Because it's not really gelling with me. But anyway, John Acuff puts it like this. If you listen to any thought long enough, it becomes part of your playlist. So just like when we get in the car and we put on our playlists, we've got this constant playlist in our mind. And guess what we often do? And this is like, I knew this already, but when I was reading it, it was just fascinating with this metaphor of a playlist.
Yeah.
We replay the same stuff over and over again because that's what we love. Well, we might not even like it. I don't think we go, oh, we like the negative thinking, but it's what we're used to hearing. So this playlist is constantly playing in our mind. It's fascinating.
And it's almost like it's the playlist that's like at the top of the pile or the top of the button or it's the one that's the most easy to access. Hey.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one that's just, you know, when I did that marathon ages ago, my main playlist, it wouldn't work. And I was so disappointed. And I kept listening to these same songs over and over and over and over and over and over again because my playlist wasn't working. But it just then goes to the other default. So it's our brain does the same thing.
And I think, you know, as I was listening to you sharing, I just had to smile at the terminology of the word overthinking, because here I am thinking, well, if we think 24/7, like, you know, how's it possible to overthink, and what's overthinking? But I think overthinking is playing those same playlists over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, you know, recognizing that we could potentially play a whole variation of different playlists if we have access to different playlists, or we can play the same one over and over. And when we recognize, oh my goodness, so my thinking does have the sense of it's going to the same place day after day after day, and, you know, maybe it's not that helpful. I reckon that's a good kind of way to think about the definition of overthinking.
Yes. Am I right? I would say so. And I would sort of add to it and say, when our thinking is starting to get in our way.
Yeah. So when it's not helpful.
When it's not helpful, it's getting in our way. It's preventing us from being or going or doing what it is we sort of would like to do or hope to do. The moment that our thinking gets in the way, I think we've crossed into way overthinking.
And I think that's the challenge with this is it's so pervasive, it's so common. Like, how many of us have experienced that?
It's human nature.
Absolutely. So it's, you know, I think also our nature is that the stuff that happens all the time, we so readily accept.
Yeah.
And we just accept that that's normal. Of course that's normal, you know.
Mm.
So then, and I think that's potentially why there are so many of us who have the sense of what? You mean I actually can change my thinking? You know, I don't have to listen to the same playlist.
The person I was talking to, I don't think is convinced yet that they can, but the key there is yet, you know, because when you've just sort of gone along the journey and not practiced it, when you've just allowed your thoughts to lead you, it's a very different thing to go and challenge it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you are speaking to someone like this person who is not quite convinced, and you know, let's imagine they say to you, okay, well, give me some keys, like where do I start? Like, if I were to try this out, you know, like, because the proof's in you know, in actually giving it a go and experiencing it for yourself, where do we start?
That's a really good, I mean, I could answer that simply with some, you know, strategies from the book, but I think to start with is to beginning to realize, well, if I can wonder about something and be curious about something, well, you can either worry, okay? So we can either sit and worry, or we can wonder. Very different way of thinking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Can worry about it or wonder. So I think to start there and to sort of get curious, if I can really doubt about things, well, maybe I can sort of dominate my thoughts. Maybe if I can, you know, spin endlessly round and round in circles, I can also begin to sort of soar and fly with my thinking. So to sort of, in the book, okay, so I'll go here. In the book, there is a solution. I'm only up to the first chapter, and there's a solution for overthinking that I've already discovered. And it's something that actually, Kath, that you and I do all of the time with our clients. And we talk about, okay, we retire our thinking, the thoughts that are not helpful, we replace them and we repeat them. So I want to talk more about those shortly. But before we can even get there, we need.
And I think I'm just listening to your example of, you know, we can worry or we can wonder. And you know, just reflecting on how, even like I'm listening to that and going, yeah, of course we can choose one or the other. But I can also understand how someone could kick back on that and go, but you don't understand, you know, like, of course I have to worry about this thing. Yeah. Like, I've got no other choice but to worry.
Yeah.
So I can understand also that it's a stretch for someone to sometimes get that, like, what? You mean I can choose to not worry? I don't think you understand my situation. You know, like, so I can get that. So in theory, to understand the theory, it makes sense. You and I work in the space. We've got heaps of evidence that we know for in our own worlds and in the clients we've worked with, that it works. But I also get that, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking,
that's right,
but surely this doesn't account for every circumstance. Well, actually, you know, the confronting thing is it actually does.
Yeah, that's right. Because the truth of the matter, say we're in a really tricky situation, a very difficult situation that causes us some worry. We all experience these moments in our life, these seasons where it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I guess we do always have a choice. We could sit in that worry, but does sitting in the worry change anything? Does sitting in it and acknowledging the truth in our thoughts that cause the worry, how does that help us? Whereas there's also other truth. So when we're sitting in overwhelming circumstances, there's always other truths. There might be the truth that, oh my goodness, this is all going to go pear-shaped. Everything's out of control. We're spiraling downhill. But there's also other truths at the same time, which is why I guess, you know, people, and I'll just throw it around like a lot of people do, but talking about gratitude journaling, for example, right? Yeah. Everyone goes, but there's truth in that. The moment we sit there, if we're in an overwhelming circumstance where worry can take over us completely, at the same time, there's also another truth at play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which is why often we need to have a coach or a friend or a parent or whoever it is in our world that helps us to see what else can be true in that season. because there's always another truth. Our worry is not the complete truth.
Yeah. And I think when we're in worry, we often are blinded to the other options and possibilities. I think for one thing.
Completely.
And the other thing that I'm reminded of and hearing you share there is sometimes worry feels like the right thing to do.
Yes.
You know, like it almost feels like, well, I don't know what to do, but at least I can worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Sometimes it gives us a sense of, well, I'm being appropriate, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm in this worry situation and I suddenly look at gratitude, for some of us that can feel a bit uncomfortable or just feel, you know, because it's sometimes if we're so practiced in, you know, ruminating or worrying,
it feels can just, flippant.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like you don't care if you, but at the end of the day, I remember I had to give a speech to our year 12 students a few years ago. I was their pastoral care teacher and my daughter was finishing year 12. And so I was asked to give a speech and I don't know, I don't think I've shared this story, but, and I was asking God for what to share with these year 12 students going out into the world, because my goodness, there is like some of them were feeling A, excited, but B, the weight of, oh my goodness, what does the future hold? And so I wanted what I had to say to inspire them.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be, I could read a verse from the Bible. I could say anything off the top of my head. That would be a great idea. But I wanted it to be from God and I wanted it to be for them for this particular season. And I had no idea what to say. And it was a couple of days before this speech and I went to bed and I was like, okay, God, this is getting serious. I've got to, you know, present the parent's speech in 2 days. And that night there was this huge, huge storm that came. And I'm not scared of storms. I love storms. But there was this nest outside a bird nest outside my laundry window. And the mama bird had put it not very well protected. I think she was a new mummy. And so anyway, she'd built this nest and I was lying in bed and instantly the storm started. Instantly I sat up and went, the birds.
Yeah.
Now, for those of us who know the word of God, we know that there's that Bible verse that says to not worry.
Yeah.
And so I tell you this whole big story because there is always another truth. There is always another truth that we don't have to sit in worry.
Yeah.
Because if we're a believer, for starters, God's got it. But if we're not, if we don't know how else, there's always another truth.
Yeah.
And we can sit and we can find what that is. But it doesn't, you're right, it doesn't necessarily feel right. But there's something about, so when we're going through a hard time, when people can say, oh, Al, how come you still got a smile on your face when you're going through all of that?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of the other truth. I'm not sitting in the current, the worry, chosen to think of the other truths. Not easy to do. And every day, my goodness, impossible to get it right 100% of the time. But if we can get it 70, 80% of the time, we're doing all right, okay?
Yeah, I just love that share. And so, you know, I think the encouragement to anyone listening here is just even the awareness and the permission that, you know, we all have permission to explore a different truth and to explore a different way of thinking. And also, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I don't know what they're talking about, you know, what different truth? I think it's just this notion that every circumstance can be viewed from different perspectives.
Mm.
And so you and I can experience the exact same scenario, and yet I can tell one story and you could tell another story. Mm. It's that metaphor of like both sides of the same coin. You know, you've heard people say that.
Yeah.
And so, so often when we do have thoughts about something, you know, even if there are the rumination, worry, overthinking, overwhelm, that's not helpful. When we hear other people share those stories, like, yeah, there is an element of truth in there for sure, you know.
Absolutely.
But when we decide that that's the complete truth of it, that's where I think we get into shaky waters, you know.
Mm.
And so even this notion of recognizing, like, yes, what I'm sharing is true, but what else could also be true?
Yeah.
I think is helpful, and it takes practice initially, and sometimes it, as you've shared beautifully earlier, often it, what's helpful is a conversation with somebody else, because somebody else, they've got we wire differently, our brains are wired uniquely, so someone else usually will be able to shine light on a different way of looking at something.
That's right. But and know. that brought awareness to me way back at the beginning of my coaching journey, and I was talking about I can't really remember now, but it was talking about my evenings, and I was feeling really sort of lazy. I wasn't making the most of my evenings. And she sort of just said to me, Al, what else is true? I'm like, what do you mean what else is true? I'm sitting on my butt watching TV doing nothing. She's, but what else is true? Okay, I'm tired. Okay, what else is true? I've had a big day.
Yeah.
I've got to get up early tomorrow. What else is true? And I was like, oh, so I'm not just being lazy and wasting my time. I'm actually recovering and relaxing from my day, getting restored for the next day. So it was just fascinating. It was just this complete mind shift. So that question, what else is true?
Yeah.
Use that all of the time with the people I get the opportunity to chat with, you know, what else is true?
Absolutely. So what other questions do you have that are helpful to ask? So the one is, what else is true? So do you have any, I know you sort of shared before, I think you shared a few questions from that book that I thought were really helpful.
Yeah, so the questions that John Acuff asks us to question our thinking. So he tells us to ask ourselves three questions. Are our thoughts true? So, and the other way we can say that is, okay, well, what else is true? Because often our thoughts have an element of truth.
Yeah.
Another question is, is it helpful?
Ooh.
So we could see it could be true, absolutely true, but is that thought helping us? Probably not.
Yeah.
Is it helpful? And the last one, is it kind? And a kind thought is non-judgmental. The moment we bring judgment to our thoughts, it's unkind. So those three questions, and I feel like this could be a conversation. We should have another conversation if you're happy to, Kath. I love this because we never get 100% of the time 100% awesome thinking. Like we never master this, right? But I feel like if we talk about it a little bit more so that we can be on this journey of grabbing hold of our thoughts, and it becomes natural for us to think, what else is true?
I'm just like thinking and reflecting on how far I've come on this journey, you know, back to pre-coaching days, you know, and you and I have been journeying this for a number of years now, but even now, how much more in both our worlds, I think it has become an easier thing to do.
Yes.
You know, to kind of consider, well, what am I thinking? Is this helpful? Is this kind? Is this true? And I just love those questions. Is this helpful? And is this kind? And even your example that you just shared, you know, you were telling yourself, oh, I'm just being lazy.
Yeah.
You know, well, there's judgment.
It was completely and, judgmental.
You know, but at the same time, I'm smiling because it's also so, you know, like if you just, you know, on the fly talking to someone, it would be so normal for someone else to go, yeah, that's such a normal thought to have. You know, so I think, again, we have so many judging thoughts that we don't even see them as judging thoughts because they're just so pervasive and we're so used to hearing them.
Mm-hmm.
And like the notion of gifting ourselves with kind thoughts, like that's a challenge.
Yeah. I think that is a big challenge, and I think it's something we should rise up and meet that challenge, and because our future depends on it, our future us, our future, our family, our relationships, everything depends on this.
Yeah.
Our thoughts really do help to determine our future, and I think it's a really important thing that we accept, challenge accepted, and and we keep growing and we make a decision, okay, I'm not going to settle for my thoughts.
Yeah.
My thoughts aren't going to determine my day. They're not going to determine the outcome. I'm going to determine my thoughts. I'm going to take some control over that. And so I think our time's about up. So we should, if you're happy to, we'll chat a bit more about this next week, because I really want to live brave, strong and fulfilled every day where I possibly can. Yeah.
No, really looking forward to that. So what is going to be helpful to, you know, like in coaching question.
Yeah, sure.
To help. So, you know, if you had to sort of pick something tangible and specific that will help you rise to that challenge between now and our next conversation, just for our listeners to give some kind of an idea, like what does that look like in your world to take up the challenge of?
For starters, I think awareness, and we say this all the time, but awareness is key. So I think to take up the challenge to take control of our thoughts is to firstly become aware of them. So for the next week, for example, I think it'd be really great when we have a moment to sort of go, okay, is that thought, hang on a second, grab hold of it. Is that thought true? Yeah. Is that thought kind? Is that thought helpful? And start to take notice.
Yeah.
Because what we're not aware of, we can't possibly begin to change.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the beginning of how to rise up to it. Hey, let's start getting real about our thoughts. How judgy are we with ourselves? Even writing them down, that'll be a really scary thing to do.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it might be helpful. I think for me, it might be helpful to actually write some down. And then also if you're listening, you know, the purpose of this exercise is also not to then spiral into judgment and think, oh my gosh, I've got such crappy thoughts all the time. And then you're judging yourself about the thoughts that you're having.
Yeah, no, that so wouldn't be helpful. That's not helpful, Kath.
So this just for everybody out there, if you're going to take up the challenge with us, we'd love to know, we'd love to hear from you. And it's challenge in just getting curious and aware about our thinking and not to judge our thinking, but to become aware so that we can take that next step and shift our thinking if we would like to.
Love it. And as always, if people listening today would love to have a conversation with a coach, Kath, I know that you, you know, and I would love the opportunity. So feel free to reach us through social media via email. Our points of contact are within the show notes. So until next week, have a fabulous week. Become aware of how your thoughts are or what your thoughts are. Let's just simply become aware, make note of them, and can't wait to talk to you again next week, Kath.
See you then.
All righty.